Well, good morning to each of you. You can be seated. Sorry. I was very blessed in being here this morning already. And the singing really spoke to my heart. And seems like that's always something that's a real blessing to me. And that was something that I really missed when we were going to Bolivia there for the month, and it seemed like we sang a lot of Spanish. That's my fault that I didn't understand that, but I really enjoyed when we came back and we all could sing together on a Sunday morning. What I have here this morning is probably nothing real new, but something that God's just been doing in my heart and my life. And I desire to grow in this area. And that is in the area of self-denial and denying myself. And so that, well, let's read the verse there in Luke 9:23-24. As I was pondering this and was thinking of sharing on this after Moses had asked me to have an opening here, while we went to Dayton there last weekend for the meetings there, and Brother John D., he shared on Saturday morning there the message that he had in his opening message. He touched a little on that, on selfishness and denying self. And he made a statement that really stuck with me. He said that selfishness is a synonym for sin. And pretty much seems like all sin can be traced back to selfishness in some way or another. And so let's read verse 23 and 24 here. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." When thinking of self-denial, I'm not sure what all of you are thinking. These are just a few thoughts that I had, and I don't feel like they're all inclusive or in any way are am I going to cover it all? But I believe that our main goal for denying self should be so that God can receive glory from my life. And in light of this verse in Luke there, can I be serving self and following Jesus at the same time? And I don't think that's going to work in our life. If we're serving self, then we're going to have a hard time following Jesus and what He has for us in our life. If I claim to be a follower of Christ, then my utmost desire should be to bring Him glory in every area of life. In Matthew 23:11-12. Jesus says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." This theme seems to run through the Bible, that if we promote ourselves or live selfishly, we are sure to fall. And I would like to look at an example of this in the Bible, of someone that was full of himself and lived very selfishly. And that's in the book of Esther, in the story of Haman there. Haman was put into power next to the king himself, and he could not rest until everyone else recognized him for that. His anger and hatred for those that did not bow down to him eventually led him to his death on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. When I allow self or selfishness to influence my choices and decisions in life more than God, the church, or my brothers, I believe that spiritually we will die. I believe that each one of you can apply that to your life in some way. I know I could. As I thought of the last part of that verse in Matthew 23:12, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted, I thought of an example. I thought of David and how when Samuel called Jesse and his sons together, they didn't bother to bring David. He was out herding sheep. He was doing the lowly job. And one by one, Jesse's sons passed by Samuel. And some of them must have been impressive because Samuel said, "Surely this is the Lord's anointed one." But each time the Lord said no. Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your children here?" And Jesse says, "Oh, there's the youngest one. He's out herding sheep." Samuel says, "Send and fetch him." When David came, the Lord told Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And the lesson I'd like to bring out here is that David was just being faithful in what was in front of him. And he was not seeking to push his way to the top or to exalt himself. And even after he was anointed here, it seems from what we read later on that he went back to herding sheep. It seems at this point that he would have had every right to think that it's time that I do something other than herding sheep. But he didn't. When his father sent David out to see his brothers, how his brothers were doing in the battle, his brothers probably some of the same ones that Samuel thought would make a good king. They said, "Why are you out here? You're supposed to be watching the sheep." And I realized that there's times when we are falsely accused, and how do we respond when we're accused like that? Do we respond quickly with pointing out theirs and their faults? I just wrote down here, if I have selfishness and pride in my life, I will be quick to point out the faults in others, and sometimes even falsely. And I will be slow to see my own shortcomings. I believe God was preparing David for later on when Saul was after David's life. Here again, we see how David denied himself of his earthly rights and allowed God to exalt him when the time was right. David would have had multiple opportunities to kill Saul. Since he was the anointed one, he probably could have justified his actions. But he said, "I will not harm the Lord's anointed one." We know David as a man after God's own heart, and I think it's important that we see, if we want that stamped across our lives as well, we will need to take some of the same steps of self-denial and giving up our will for God's will. I would like to share a few ways that denying self can be practical in our lives. And one of those ways is when I'm communicating with others. When I'm communicating with others, does the conversation need to center around me and what all I am doing, or all my problems, or my victories? Or am I interested in the other person and his opinions or ideas? Do I need to be the one talking to feel like I'm involved in a conversation? Or can I sit and listen and learn? We can easily see when others act like they have all the answers, but many times I fail to see when I come across in this way. What about caring for the poor? We cannot live selfishly and live lavishly as the rich man did and expect different results. Was the thought I had as we live here in this corner of the world where it seems that there's plenty, and yet with everything that we know, I believe we're responsible for those that are less fortunate. I'm going to read 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. And in verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If I am clothed with humility, I think I will be open to my brother speaking into my life. And I won't be offended. I will not use his faults to justify my own. And I believe that this can really test how full of self I actually am, if I can accept criticism or accept someone pointing out my faults. And I say that for myself. Paul said that I must decrease so Christ can increase. I think that needs to be each one of our hearts, that we are continually decreasing so that Christ can be more manifested in our life. John Dee also, he said something to the effect that the first evidence of a renewed mind is a right view of self. And I think each one of us, or I think I should strive more to have a right view of self. Many times we have a very exalted view of ourselves and who we are. And it's less accurate than we would like to think. Let's remember that the way up is the way down in our Christian life. If we want to grow, we will need to go down and submit ourselves to our brothers and to those in authority over us. Maybe sometime in the service here we could sing song number 457. I think that's pretty much all I have. God bless each one of you.